Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Jim Masters here. Thank you so much for joining us. Cynthia Kofala is joining us from Cynthia Kofala Coaching. Much popular, loved former high school counselor, Cynthia understands how navigating life's challenges overwhelmingly, well, that can be something that can be downright frustrating for youngsters. And faced with a myriad of challenges that come from growing up with societal pressures and dating, academic struggles, the use of social media, family life, and it goes on and on. The factors can deeply affect a teen's confidence and sense of self-worth. Through Cynthia's unique evidence-based coaching, she helps teens explore the root cause of their anxiety, challenge negative thoughts, strengthen resilience, and improve their overall mental well-being. All this without telling them what to do, but encouraging to look within and find their own solutions and strategies. By supporting and mentoring teenagers, she helps them develop key coping strategies and manage the anxiety and stress that have been holding them back so they can show up as the extraordinary men and women she knows they are capable of being. She says while teenagers may put on a happy face like they're innately happy, they may be silently suffering as they are often reluctant to open up to their parents. And she helps to identify the root causes of their pain, and she takes a holistic approach to address them head on. The work she does is so important. Cynthia offers a 12-week coaching package that develops key coping strategies to manage stress, which includes embracing emotional freedom, understanding and empowering and reclaiming control step by step. Cynthia is also the host of the podcast, The Teen Anxiety Maze, which offers ongoing support on teen anxiety and helping them develop a healthy mindset. She comes to us live and direct from Topeka, Kansas. Let's welcome Cynthia to our show. Cynthia, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you here. What inspired you to do this work? You know, we all have our own life's journey and things that point us in the direction of the work that we're doing. Maybe you can share a little bit about that early background and what led you and inspired you to get into the world of coaching.
Sure. I went into education, and so I graduated with my bachelor's as a teacher, and I was teaching students that had disabilities of different kinds, learning disabilities, behavior difficulties, and I really loved doing that because I've just loved helping kids my whole life, but I spent a lot more time in the classroom helping kids with their emotions and their relationships and things that were going on in their home, and I thought, well, I like that a lot better than I like trying to teach math and science and all the subjects. So I went back to school and got my master's degree in school counseling, and I did that for 25 more years. I was a teacher for 6, a counselor for 25 years, and I loved all of it. But then I really wanted to branch out and just talk to more kids and, like, have more of an influence than just the students that were assigned to me in my brick and mortar school. So I decided that I wanted to be a life coach for young people because I knew that there was so much that I learned from being life coached myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, kids need to know this. And if I would have known this when I was 15, I could have done even more things in my life than I already did. So that was my inspiration. But I just love working with young people, and I always say that I kind of kept a little piece of that teenage brain in my brain, and I've never lost it, and so I really can connect with teenagers, and I just enjoy everything that I learn from them.
That's fantastic. Your role as a teen coach, tell us about that, and it's, again, something that is so important and so invaluable. And why is it important to help teens? I mean, this is sort of a common sense question, but maybe you can break it out, the importance of helping teens deal with anxiety. There's so many pressures out there these days.
Sure. Well, I think with teenagers, well, really a lot of people, but I think teens and maybe more so with anxiety, everyone has anxiety. Maybe we're not all diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, but we all have anxious thoughts. And I think that when kids are, you know, starting to experience this, they have a lot of big emotions when they're teenagers. And when they have these really uncomfortable feelings like anxiety or panic sometimes, they think something is wrong, like something's wrong with me, or and that's usually why they actually hide it instead of telling somebody, because they're like, I don't want anyone to know that something's wrong with me, even though there isn't anything wrong with them, but that's what they're thinking. And so I feel like it's so important to get young people the message that all of our emotions, no matter, you know, how uncomfortable they feel, are all part of being a human being, and that we can learn to manage those feelings so that they don't overtake and control us. And that's what a lot of teens are allowing anxiety to take away all the fun things in life. Some of them don't want to drive, or they don't want to go to school, or they don't want to go to take a new class, or they don't want to learn an instrument. Or, I mean, there's all these things that anxiety, it's normal to be anxious about those things. But because they've decided that, oh, something's wrong with me and I shouldn't feel this way, then they don't do the things that they really want to do in life.
Which is so important. Mm-hmm. Coaching, it's different from counseling and therapy. There might be certain areas where it sort of weaves in and out. But from your definition, how is coaching different from counseling or therapy?
Well, coaching to me is taking someone who is, you know, fairly, they're functioning in life, but it's taking those, it's helping them learn skills so that they can be even better in their life. Kind of like people who are in a sport usually have some skill in that sport, and then the coach helps bring out even more things to help them be a better athlete. So I feel like with coaching, they're already doing okay in life, or things are, you know, for the most part, okay. And then I just help them, like, have a better experience or have more confidence in themselves to go do bigger and better things. Where there is a great, we need therapy and we need counseling, but that usually goes back, it'll go back in their past and kind of look at maybe what's happened to them, maybe they've been abused or there's some trauma or something that they have to overcome to then become a functioning person, to then become a better person. So I don't know if that kind of makes any sense, but like I'm not going backwards to look at anything. I'm taking the kid where they are right now, and then we're going forward to bigger and better things.
Do you work with parents as well, or parents part of the equation?
Well, I certainly have to work with them to some extent because most of my clients are minors, and so I have to have the parent permission to even work with them, and of course the parents pay the bills. But if a parent were to email me or call me and say, oh my gosh, we just had this happen and we don't know what to do, can you help us figure out how we can help our child, I would certainly do that. But the main work that I do is with the teen or the young adult. I do have some clients that are in college where they're still trying to figure out, you know, what do I want to be after I'm done with this degree? And so even in those instances, I mean, those kids are adults, so I don't talk to their parents as much unless the young adult, you know, gives me permission to talk to their parents. But I do help them if they reach out and say, you know, we have this thing going on and we don't know what to do. I'm fine to help them. It's just not a weekly, or I'm not really coaching them on a regular basis. It just might be through a certain situation while I'm working with their child.
What are some of the tools that you like to use, that you call upon in your coaching work?
I use a lot of like feeling, what does anxiety feel like in your body? Because everyone has a different experience with all emotions. They feel certain things in their body. And I really want them to become super aware of what it feels like and what they're thinking about when they're having that feeling. Because a lot of times, you know, we start to feel sort of uneasy, and then our brain tells us a lot of things that's negative or scary, and then that fuels us feeling worse because our thoughts are saying all these things. So I really, it's kind of a two-part thing, but I have them, what does it feel like physically in your body, and then what is your brain offering you during that time? And then we start kind of looking at it, and they just become really aware of where these feelings are coming from, what do they feel like. And then once they're aware, then they can do something about it. A lot of kids get up in the morning, they don't feel good emotionally, and they just think, oh, well, that's the way it is. I'm in a bad mood today, and there's nothing I can do about it. But there's a lot you can do about a bad mood, because we can think different things. We can reframe our thoughts. We can look at things in a different way that make us feel better. So those are like the main things that I teach at the beginning. But I also use a strengths-based approach where I have all of my clients take an assessment where they learn their top five strengths, their values, their preferred versus burnout skills, and also their interests. And so I take that information and help them to see, okay, this is how you're wired, which is different than other people, and these things can help you with your anxiety management, or they can help you get more confidence. Or we talk about, you know, how are you using those strengths in your classrooms? How are you using them in your friendships? A lot of my clients work a part-time job, so we talk about how can you use those strengths in your work? How can you advocate for yourself? And so kind of all of those things together kind of create my program.
Which is great. It's so well thought out, and you have really something, you know, for everybody, but it's not a mm-hmm. cookie-cutter approach. It's all custom designed for the individual, mm-hmm. which I think is terrific. There's different ways that, you know, distinguish people from others that might do similar work. What do you feel are some of the things, the standouts that have you sort of distinguished from others that make you stand out, the uniqueness of your approach and your background?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of it is just tons of experience. I have 33 years of experience working with young people. And so that in itself, that there's just so many things that I have helped people with over the years that I can draw upon. So I think that's helpful. I also, because I have a special education background, I also understand neurodivergency, and I understand ADHD and autism and all sorts of other learning disabilities and behavior issues that I've helped kids through, and different diagnoses. I've had students over those 33 years that have had all sorts of different diagnoses and how it was most helpful to work with them. And I think that it's just like a combination of those things that not a lot of people have in the teen coaching setting. I think a lot of teen coaches probably did come from education. I'm noticing as I'm meeting new teen coaches that a lot of them were teachers before they became teen coaches, because you have to kind of, you don't just go through life and have like, I don't think anyway, having like a corporate job and then all of a sudden, oh, I want to work with teens. It's just kind of like a thing that you just do a lot of your life. But I just feel like my years of experience, my being able to work with students that are neurodivergent, and some of my clients are, And so they have IEPs, which is the individual education plans in school. And because I have that public school background, I can also help them navigate school with their accommodations for their anxiety or any other diagnoses that they have, because I did that for so many years. And so I think my approach, even though I don't you know, necessarily work with the schools. I've had different clients that I have worked with the schools because the parents really wanted some support in that.
And that's important, right? The support is a key component to all of it. From your perspective, what are the goals teens have when they seek you out for the coaching? Are there specific goals, or is it they just know they need to have the coaching, or the parent knows that the coaching would be very beneficial for them? Are there goals involved?
We do have goals, but they're so different for every single client that I have. That's that custom approach kind of that I do. But I think most of them are just, they don't like how school or life is going right now, whether it's I wish I was more outgoing and I'm too scared to do that. I need to go to school, but I'm too afraid to go to school. I've had clients that I want to learn to drive, but I'm too afraid to do the driving test. Some kids are like, I want to date people, or I want to get more, you know, I want to pay more attention in social settings, but I'm too afraid of that. And I don't have a lot of, I have a few teens that seek me out, but most of the time it's the parent who is like, I need some support or help for my child. And then they start looking on the internet to, you know, teen anxiety, or how do I help my teen with anxiety? My website or my podcast or something will come up, and then they contact me. And truthfully, and this makes me a little bit sad, but it's just because kids need to know me and they haven't met me yet sometimes, but they're a little bit leery of it. Like, their parent says, hey, you should talk to this coach because I know she can help you. And they're like, I don't know. Who is this lady? Like, why would I want to talk to her? Or is this person going to be just like my parent? Or is this person just going to tell me what to do? And I don't want someone to tell me what to do. I always meet with the teen either individually after the parent contacts me, or sometimes with the parent, depending on their relationship with their child, so that they can see that I'm just an open, non-judgmental, caring, peaceful person that they can talk to about anything, and that I just help them see what they already know inside of them. Every person has knowledge inside of them, but it's hard to access that sometimes. And so I just talk out loud with them and let them brainstorm things. And sometimes I'll give them the pros and cons of different things. And then they make their own decisions about, oh, well, this is the right way to go. Kids almost always will make the right decision if they just have the open, safe space to think about it. And that's kind of what I offer is, you know, I'm just an open, safe place to process anything that's going on. And my clients really like that.
That's so important. From your perspective, too, how does coaching help teens also become more resilient, joyful, kinder, and overall happier individuals, meet life's challenges?
I think anytime we know how much control we actually have over our emotions, and if we just learn to manage all of those uncomfortable feelings, and that doesn't mean resist them or ignore them or fight against them, but we allow those feelings to be in our body and give ourselves love and grace that, oh, this is just the way humans work, and today I'm feeling like this, tomorrow I'm going to feel a different way, here's how I can take control of this situation myself without just, you know, relenting to these uncomfortable feelings. And that is, that's key for everyone. That I learned that as an adult, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is magic. Like, I didn't know this is how it worked, even though I should have known. And so I feel like the coaching is just so helpful to them because they're learning how to take control of how they're feeling and how things are going for them. And then of course that makes them resilient and then they're going to feel happier because they have more satisfaction in their life and their relationships are better. They do better in school. Everything is affected by how we feel mentally. and you didn't ask this question, but being in public school for so long, we're not teaching that in school. Like, we're doing a little bit better about teaching a little bit about emotions or kind of how that stuff works, but school is still very much geared towards the subjects. They're not, I think maybe they feel like, you know, well, that's the parent's job to do the emotions or something. I don't know. But if all kids had mental health help and felt healthy in their mental health, the school would take care of itself. Like, if you feel good, you're going to do good in school. You're going to be motivated to go to school because you feel good about the reason that you're there and what's going to happen and what your future is like. Kids don't realize that they can feel differently about school or feel differently about what's going on. So I think it's just the magic to making sure that they do their greatest potential.
You have a 12-week coaching package, which is quite exciting, that you devised. Tell us about that.
Well, when the clients come to me, they first take that assessment I was talking about where they learn what their top five strengths are, their values, preferred versus burnout skills, and interests. And we don't always start with that, but I have them take that right away. And then depending on what they, you know, are saying is their kind of main thing that's bothering them, and if it's completely or very much anxiety related, then we really jump into the anxiety first and we find out what kind of mindsets do we have that are causing kind of that anxiety to come up? So it could be, are they perfectionistic? And I find that a lot of my clients are on the perfectionistic side, so they want everything to be perfect, so then their life is stressful because obviously things aren't perfect. We can't have a perfect life, but they're always working towards it, so it makes them anxious. It could be that they have intolerance to uncertainty, so they don't know what the school day is going to be like, so they don't want to go there. They don't know what the driver's test is going to be like, so they don't want to do it. They don't know what the new class will be like, so they don't want to do it. Or we also have over-responsibility, which is I feel responsible for all people's feelings, safety, and then that makes them anxious because, again, we don't have control over other people's feelings or safety. And so then they're anxious about it all the time because they're like, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And then so they learn about that, like how those mindsets can create that in their bodies. We learn how to allow ourselves to feel uncomfortable and still move forward. And there's kind of a whole process with that of how we allow uncomfortable feelings to sit in our bodies. And we're not fighting them, and we're not ignoring them. We're just letting them sit there, and they will flow through, but many times we don't let it flow through because we're too busy trying to get rid of it. And then we create a plan, and we talk about, you know, what are the things they want to work on. We plan for those uncomfortable feelings because we're going to accept that we are going to feel anxious when we go to a new situation. We are going to feel anxious if we want to ask someone on a date. We are going to feel anxious if we have to do a speech in front of the class. And that's okay. And how are we going to move forward through that? So that's kind of like the 12 weeks. We're working through those things. But in the meantime, you know, if they come on the call and we were going to work on values or we were going to talk about our strengths or whatever, and they're like, my boyfriend just broke up with me last night, or my mom and I just had a fight, or, you know, a hurricane is coming, which is what a couple of my clients were experiencing that, then we talk about that and we process whatever's happening in the moment. And then next week we'll, you know, jump into the strengths or the values or whatever. So that's that custom, whatever they come to me about and they need to work on, that's what we do.
That's fantastic. Sounds really exciting, too, because the results, you know, you're helping people deal with those coping strategies to manage stress, which includes really embracing the emotional, you know, freedom and understanding and empowering and reclaiming control step by step, which is so incredibly important, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Anxiety levels since the pandemic have also skyrocketed as well. Feeling anxious, as you say, really is natural and healthy, but getting stuck in overwhelming sorrow is not necessarily the best way to go about it. And unresolved, it can actually manifest into long-term health problems too, right? Tell us about
that. Well, if someone has anxiety and or panic and they don't get any help for it, then that turns into that depression, suicidality, different things that you know, we all want to avoid with young people. And so taking care of this and doing something about it when they're young is so much more helpful than it becoming all these other disorders and problems. And you mentioned the pandemic and COVID, and that definitely kind of put a nail in the coffin, if you want to say it like that. But the anxiety started way before that, and I was noticing it in with my students way before COVID, that anxiety had been ramping up. And recently I saw some research and started listening to some information that they think that that started around 2012, this kind of ramp up of anxiety and mental health issues with young people. And it is corresponding to when smartphones became out there for every person to use at all times. And it's very interesting. You know, I hadn't really, I mean, we talk about social media, and I knew that it had an impact, but I didn't think about how as soon as smartphones were available to most young people, that's when their anxiety started going up. So it's much more related to having access to all information at all times and, you know, the comparing that goes on in social media and how the mean talking to each other and staying up all night on their phones and all the things that those smartphones and social media have given them, that's where the real anxiety started. But yes, then COVID happened, and then all they had was their phone to connect with their friends. And of course, during the teenage years, connecting with other people, your peers in general, is very important. And so the only way they could connect was through their phone. And so it just, it kind of just added a whole nother layer to it. But it did start before the pandemic. The pandemic just made it worse.
Absolutely. And you're there as a wonderful resource, which I think is such a beautiful thing. And I know that this is something that speaks to your heart and the essence of who you are, and you really love this work. Starting out originally as a popular, much-loved former high school counselor, probably had a big fan club in that area too, I don't doubt. And
I did.
That gives you some, it gives you great, like a fabulous precursor to the work that you're doing now. Because you understand how navigating life's challenges, overwhelm can really be something that we need to do, especially youngsters. I encourage folks to go to the website. This is, I love the name of this website too, betterregulatethannever.com. And I'll spell that out for our listeners, BETTERREGULATE. THANNEVER.com. And that's a great name for a website, and got all the tools and resources there, and a great place for people to connect, learn more about the 12-week coaching package and everything else that you do as well, including the Teen Anxiety Maze. This was really terrific, Cynthia. I'm so glad we got a chance to chat, and appreciate your wit and wisdom and your authenticity and your passion for helping others and guiding others and giving them the tools they need to be able to live a more joyful, happy, and resilient life. Thanks for stopping by Close Up Radio Live, and I hope we get a chance to expand some more, maybe hear some case studies, testimonials, and I hope truly you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you, Cynthia.
I did, Jim. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
The pleasure is all ours. You have a wonderful rest of your day. And I encourage folks, again, go to Better Regulate Than Never. And than is T-H-A-N. So Better Regulate Than Never, www.jimmasters.com. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.